Listen and stream the all-new talk radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
Yes, it's such a beautiful evening. Oh, the game of football right here on Freedom 106.5 FM. It's called Offside. Ah! Oh, that song, Terry.
It sounds fantastic, Kerry. Yeah, right? You always sound fantastic.
Right? I feel like I can be a commentator, though.
You should
be. Yeah.
Top class.
I'm going to do that. Hey, good evening, Trinidad and Tobago. Good evening to the world and welcome. This is Offside, which we do every Monday from 6 p.m. to 7:30 alongside Terry Fenwick. And usually we would have Adrian Romaine here.
Who's traveling at the moment,
Kerry. At the moment, yeah, yeah. With his club. But, you know, we have, drum roll, please.
Oh, yes.
Andre. Yeah, that's the best drum roll ever.
I know.
We have Andre Sukla sitting in with us today. And I know we have a jam-packed show, of course, Terry, which you do every Monday.
Yes.
You bring an awesome show.
Yeah, well, listen, really excited, obviously. Everybody loves their football.
Mm.
And we're covering Premier League because it doesn't matter where you are in the world, whoever you support locally, you always support a Premier League club as well.
Mm.
We'll cover Champions League.
Mm-hmm.
We're covering the TT Premier League right here in Trinidad and Tobago,
yeah,
which I'm quite excited about. I think it's got off to a very good start.
Mm.
I'm enjoying what I've seen on TV so far. And, of course, we'll be touching on the national team, Trinidad and Tobago.
Because I know they played a game on last week. Was it last week or week before?
Nicaragua, yeah.
Yeah.
Last weekend.
And
yeah.
I mean, they were supposed to win, right?
Yeah.
But they drew.
And that saw them out of all competitions,
wow,
not promoted into the next league up. Lots of things to talk about there.
Yeah.
And of course, going back to the Premier League, Kerry, it's everybody's starting to panic. There's four managers being fired over the last week.
This is a serious thing, you know.
And my God.
We spoke about that before.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's incredible because obviously the clubs are worried about their survival in the Premier League.
Mm.
Fans are chanting for better. But my God, these managers are getting paid off incredible sums of money because it's that big.
Yeah,
it's the biggest game on the planet.
And they have to
perform. Yes, they have. So we're going to touch on a lot of that. And I think, Andrea, you've got, my God, when I look at the managers that we're talking about here, we've got Potter at Chelsea, Conte at Tottenham, my club Tottenham, Brendan Rodgers, Leicester, and just before all of that was Vieira at Crystal Palace.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts?
It's crazy because, you know, just to build on what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, I know you asked us the question a couple of times.
Mm.
You know, these guys are paid large amounts of money.
Yeah.
And the unforgiving nature of the EPL.
Yeah.
And sometimes I kind of sympathize, but it's the nature of the game. Like, you know, I could start with like Conte.
Mm.
You know, he's a coach and I'm sure Terry agrees.
Yeah.
I really like a lot.
Yeah.
And then, you know, things won't go in the way he thought it would go.
Mm.
And it's showing that these clubs are not afraid to cut these guys loose. No longer the days where people could sit down and say, hey, okay, you know, let's stick with the manager to the end of the season.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's just not happening.
Well, for me, Andrea, it's a bit of a contradiction because all of the better clubs that you see generally are better because they've had one coach for quite a while,
yep,
development program, giving them time to put the team together, the tactics together, what's the actual game plan.
Mm.
And you've seen your Pep Guardiolas, your Klopp, your Sir Alex Ferguson's of the past, all of the top coaches,
yep,
even Conte, you know, with Chelsea before this and wherever he's been in Italy and around the world, he's always been successful because he's been given time to nurture the players and bring the players in that he requires for his team setup.
Yeah.
And then time again to make sure that blend works and they're successful.
Mm.
I think, and Tottenham Hotspur's my team, I look out for them, obviously played for them in the past, but I think he's called the management out. He's
correct,
called the ownership of the club.
Right.
You've got a fabulous football club here, which Tottenham Hotspur have, arguably the best stadium in the world. It's absolutely incredible. The training ground is just off the records. It's just wow.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is so technical these days. They've got everything. But the players are not performing, their team are not winning, We haven't won a cup for God knows how long. And I think this was Conte bringing it up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a flip side to this. He's going to get paid off in the multi-millions of pounds because the team haven't performed.
Yeah.
Has he done it because he wants that payout and he's moving on to a new club? Has somebody tapped him up? Is he going back to Italy? What was happening there? There's so many things that you could actually look at, Andrea, whereby it's a huge payout and he's safe for the rest of his life because of the two or three payouts that he's had. It runs into the 50s and 60 millions of pounds.
Yep.
That's crazy money.
Yep, it's insane, you know, when you do these kind of jobs and not perform, according to, you know, the stats, depending on how you look at it, you get a nice payout. So the cynical person in me would look at it and be like, oh, well, you know, you're getting a nice paycheck, which builds on what Terry is saying.
Yeah.
Is it, does he know, whatever, I'm getting a paycheck.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. But I think Conte is the kind of guy, he's a passionate, fiery guy. I like him.
Yeah, me too.
I'm a fan of him. I think he is exactly the kind of coach Tottenham needed, just like Mourinho before him.
Yeah.
And I think both coaches suffered from the same thing. You know, they called out, you know, is it Levy? I can't remember his name.
It's,
those guys.
Levy is the chairman, but it's actually Joe Lewis is the owner of the club.
Right.
Who resides in the Bahamas.
Yep.
Sits on his yacht up there, enjoying life, watching his money spin around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he's put lots of money in, but not nearly as much as some of the bigger clubs that we've seen. When you look at Newcastle now, Manchester United, Manchester City, Chelsea, my God, have spent fortunes and not reaping rewards, which is why probably Potter has been fired himself.
Yes.
And that makes Chelsea the most sackings of managers in one season.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And Kerry, they've paid out 45 to 50 million pounds alone for sacking these same managers.
Wow.
That's how big the game is. That's how big Chelsea Football Club are.
Mm.
That's the standards that they require. It's quite remarkable.
Correct.
Now, I know, Terry, I know we have some guests coming in. And, of course, I have Adrian on Zoom.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be telling us much more about what's happening. Adrian, don't worry, I'm going to bring you up to speed. But guys, don't forget, you can get into the conversation. You can call me at 627-3223, 625-2257. You can even send me a WhatsApp message on 306-1065. There are a lot of football fans out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot. And it's the action, like, it never stopping.
It never ends.
Well, you see, Kerry, we've got to recognise that we've just seen World Cup through November, December. Coming into December, mid-December, as a player going back all them years, we used to look at early December and we'd be looking up and down the table to see what coaches were going to get fired.
Yep.
Because all clubs would make their changes before the end of the year, giving somebody else a new chance to get their team, get their club out of the relegation zone into safety for the next season. And World Cup pretty much knocked that for six. When I look at the coaches that have gone, Patrick Vieira didn't really surprise me because I thought, having had a reasonable start to the season, he went 15 games.
Losses
where he couldn't pick a point up and it wasn't going anywhere. And I think people talk, and players, if they're not getting a response from the manager, if they're not getting something like a Conte who gets right up behind you and gives you a dig and gets into you publicly. Jose Mourinho, as you said earlier on, similar type person. So if you're not doing it, they bring it out on social media. They go to the press and tell people, sorry, but such and such playing centre-back is not doing a good enough job. He's letting chances go by. He's given the opposition the up. And they're calling things out.
Yeah.
So doesn't surprise me that Vieira went. I think Brendan Rodgers, with a very good Leicester side that's done very well over the last two and a half, three seasons, he's now been fired because the fans, the management of the club have just had enough. They can't take excuses any longer. They're in the bottom three. So cost him his job, and he's a coach that everybody reveres.
But Terry, when they suck a manager like that, what happens next? Is it that they have a replacement manager one time ready to go?
More often than not, you would find they've already sourced a new manager.
Wow.
So when when they fire the existing manager, boom, the next year, the new manager takes over.
A new manager comes in.
Yeah, yeah. It's cutthroat.
That's a doggy dog.
Yeah, it's very brutal.
Cutthroat.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Guys, it's just about 17 minutes after 6. Don't forget you can get into the conversation. Call us up. Let us know what you thought about the games that happened. Let us even know what you thought about the game between us and Nicaragua, right? Yeah. I mean, they drew 1-1. And yeah. I know, Terry, you're all going to elaborate on how that game went. And, you know, as the football analyst, right here.
Yeah.
You know, so guys, call us 627-322-3625-2257. You can even send me a WhatsApp message on 306-1065. We're getting a call. Let's see who is there. Hi, good evening. You're live.
Good evening, Karen.
Hey, Kadeem, what's up? How are you doing?
I am good. Good evening to Terry and Andrea.
Evening.
Good evening.
Yesterday was a very terrible day for Man United fans. They didn't have a good day at the office at all.
No.
although they had more ball possession yesterday.
Yes.
And of course, they were beaten by Newcastle. And the last time Newcastle would have whipped them would have been all the way back in 1976.
Yeah, it's a while, yeah.
1976, you're saying?
76.
1976, 77 season.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. I ain't even born yet.
I mean, that'd be crazy. And of course, a good win there for Man City.
Yes.
Coming away against Liverpool. And of course, we've not seen Haaland in that game, but of course, still having some good goal scorers there to perform well. Grealish, De Bruyne, Alvarez, and the only person who was managing the net there for Liverpool, Mo Salah.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting. You know, when I look at the game yesterday between Man City and Newcastle, I see Rashford is very rusty. He's not in form at all. And I think that is something that Man United will have to work on.
Yes.
In terms of when you look at the table, they are in fourth possession now. Fourth place, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are in fourth place. So that is something that they will have to work on. And if they don't work on that with some level of alacrity, they will be sliding. So it's going to be very interesting when you look at it and see how things are.
Yeah.
Just to confirm, Manu is in fifth position, I think they are in.
Let me tell you, I've got it right here in front of me.
Tottenham is actually ahead of them.
Yes, so they've dropped to fifth position.
Yeah,
Tottenham
they
are in
actually
fourth.
In fifth position. When I watched it yesterday, they were actually in fourth, but actually I see it has been reversed.
But I think you're quite right. You know, when you look at this Manchester United side, I would have to say that thrashing at Liverpool 7-0 has really dented the confidence. And we're not seeing Marcus Rashford nearly as good as we've seen him early part of the season.
Correct.
I would still have to say that the manager, has done a great job because he has turned it round despite the results they've had of late. But it's going to be a very interesting run-in. You know, we're looking at 7 games remaining in the season. It's tightened right up. My God, what a great result it was for Manchester City winning 4-1 over Liverpool. Again, I'd have to say...
That was a good game there for them. Absolutely.
Great game.
And of course, they are closing not only points now, so they are 6.
Yeah.
Leaders Arsenal here with 6 points just ahead of them at 70.
So we're 64 Manchester City, 72 Arsenal at the top. You can't knock this Arsenal side because I keep on waiting for them to stumble. They've got such a young squad, pressure is on them. But they keep on churning out a result and getting good wins, Andre.
I think a lot of people were expecting, that was the narrative.
Yeah.
Everybody was expecting Arsenal to, you know, fall over themselves.
Yeah.
Because to be fair, no disrespect to Arsenal, that's what they've been doing for a long time.
They have, yes.
But, you know,
why had to be like that?
Why are you like that, Andre? But Arteta is a guy, we were talking about the coaches that got sacked earlier.
Yeah.
He's another example where just a couple months ago, people were calling for his head.
Of course.
They
were.
He was like, listen, we need to get rid of this guy. I spoke to a lot of Arsenal fans all over the world.
Yeah.
And they were like, he needs to go. And it just shows you, as Terry was saying, there's such a contradiction with football. In one moment, the results are not going well, and people call for their heads. But sometimes they need that continuity and patience.
Yes.
Exactly. And of course, the camaraderie will bring the team together and then gel and
correct.
Can perform well.
And it's starting to show now. I think they're paying dividends for trusting him.
And I think, guys, I think you've got to look at these coaches today. They're eyeing out all of what we would call the superstars of yesteryear.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. When you think over the, my God, the last 18 months, the problems that they've had with Ronaldo,
yeah.
Pop, before that, this is Manchester United. Some of the bigger players within your team structure, Arsenal had all them problems with two or three players there.
Mm.
And these new managers have come in and cleaned house.
Yeah.
And they're getting great rewards from young players that are sticking together, working hard for the team and the club, and doing great things.
Yeah.
Who on earth would have thought Arsenal would be clear at the top of the league?
Yep. Mm. Certainly not myself. You know, I'm an
me
analyst.
Neither.
It was shocking to everybody.
As a Tottenham fan, I'm gutted.
Everybody have their team, and this is Arsenal's team.
Yeah.
Mm. It would be interesting just to come back to at home here now with that 1-1 draw with Nicaragua.
Yeah.
You know, I listened to the coach comment in terms of he find that Nicaragua played nasty.
Really?
I disagree, but I'll anyhow, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was disagreeing as well. Mm. I mean, at the end of the day, when you result, you have to look at something to point. And unfortunately, I think Trinidad and Tobago didn't turn up well on that day.
Yeah.
And well, we haven't managed to move out from this wrong. We will have to come again and see what we have done wrong.
So I think there's a lot of things that we can look at, which we're going to cover in the show tonight. But what I would have to say, listen, Nanga Sahib has gone public after the game that the crowd should have done and could have done so much more to help the team and whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
He's criticised lots of different areas. But I thought his substitutions were poor on the day. Tactics were poor on the day. And, you know, we've got to look at this. There's lots going on in the background whereby the standards of world football today, you've got to be an A or pro licensed coach to coach big teams today. And Angus hasn't got the qualifications to be there.
I think in the consideration, some of our players are playing for their clubs.
Yes.
So you see, how do we, at this critical game that we would have...
And I think we highlighted that last week.
Yep.
Adrian was saying that as well, because a lot of them still playing for the clubs, and, you know, it just so happened that the game's mentioned. And I mean, if you're getting proper money for the club that you're paying for, why would I go out there to...
Yes.
Yeah, I think we covered that last week as well. But thanks, Kadeem. Thanks so much.
Yep.
We're going
to...
Of
thanks,
course,
mate.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Guys, I know we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll have Adrian joining us so that we'll continue the conversation. So keep it locked. This is Freedom 106.5 FM, where you speak your mind. This is Offside. We will be right back.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
Welcome back. It's Freedom 106.5 FM, where you speak your mind. This is Offside with Terry Fenwick, Adrian Romaine, and we have Andre.
Yes,
we have Andre. So, guys, right now, are we getting a call? That looked like a call. Okay, anyway. So, I know we have, what's his name? Adrian on the line. Adrian, are you there? Adrian, are you there? All right, let's take the score before, all right? Let's see who's there. Hi, good evening, you're live.
Hi, good evening.
Evening, welcome.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hi, Carrie. Good afternoon. Good afternoon to our listeners.
Hi, yeah, we're hearing you loud.
Yes, Carrie.
I'm not hearing you, Carrie.
I think we have been having so much discussion around international football.
Mm-hmm.
Premier League, this league, that league, you know. And that's well and good, all right? Because it's good to say that for me, for Liverpool, Manchester United to go down 7-0 to any team is something that I don't think anybody would have expected. But also, I don't think that anybody should be reasonably expecting this national team to even make it to the Gold Cup or the World Cup. Right? And I'm saying that because we have been doing the same thing over and over, and expecting a different result. I have a serious concern with football administration in this country, right? And if we're really serious about football, we will start a scout in this country for young talents and develop from young. Develop these youths. There are a lot of skilled youths throughout Trinidad and Tobago in the rural communities and things, you know, you just go and you're skilled youth playing football. Why we don't bring back these domestic leagues where you starting from school, primary school level, develop youth, have a good development program in place. Too much of concentration is on the national senior team of bringing this one here, fitting in this one here like a puzzle, and expecting us to go somewhere. We have a goal. We have our goal is just to make World Cup. That is so, you know, it's unbelievable that as a developing country, as a footballing country, that our goal is to make it to World Cup.
Yeah.
Not to develop football here, it's just to make it to World Cup. And the reason, every resources you have will be spent on this national senior team who has been failing us to try to make it to World Cup, desperately trying. We need to invest in a proper structured development program whereby you can decentralize and have it spread throughout zones and start from small. That is why Germany is where they are today, because they have done that. We just sailing over and over and expecting a different result. So, gentlemen, anytime you see come to football, Trinidad football, and we discussing Trinidad football anywhere I am, I just shut off my ears, because at the end of the day, Trinidad football, the narrative should not be centered around the performance now, and we want to make it the World Cup. The narrative, the discussion should be centered around how can we build this country image once again as a footballing nation. How about
this? Thank you so much. Thanks for your contribution. And Nicole is correct, you know.
Yes, some great points he's brought out there.
Yep.
But what I would have to bring back to his attention is I'm in 100% agreement that we need to have a development program on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't got that. We struggled since the Jack Warner days. We've gone through COVID. Every other island up and down the region have started their football long time before us.
Right.
I think this, guys and girls, I think this is all about the poor management structure that TT Football has got, because it's one thing having that or wanting that development programme, you've got to have the proper people in behind the scenes to drive that home.
Right.
Mm.
And the management at the top don't see it, don't realise it. And the while that I've been in Trinidad and Tobago, 23 years, I've watched most of the other islands, and particularly the Central American countries, they've had great development programmes through Argentine coaches, which are brilliant. The Argentine went, I think it was 6 out of 8 years winning under-20 World Cups and things like that, championships.
Yeah.
They've done brilliant things with young kids.
Yeah.
And they've done that now up and down the islands. They've done it in the Central Americas, where we've now got Honduras doing good things. We've got Costa Rica doing good things. Panama, you know, a country where I used to watch Trinidad and Tobago, we used to batter them. We don't anymore. They batter us. Because we haven't got the right people behind the scenes that are intellectually connected to football. They don't see it. They don't understand it. They don't realise the way the rest of the world are operating. And that is why our kids on the ground are suffering, because they're not coming to the forefront, because people are not seeing them, because they don't know what they're looking for.
Because I know we had discussions about that, and because we have identified that there are a lot of talent all across Trinidad and Tobago.
Yeah.
But after school football, what next?
Mm. Correct.
You know, so that talent, it goes to waste.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Kerry, what they've done, and I've enjoyed the games. I've watched a couple of games so far, which is the TT Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's been very good, but what they've done is they've isolated that, they've concentrated on that, and it looks good, but at the cost of every other level of football below that.
Mm.
So you've got no development leagues, nothing's happening there. The school leagues in themselves are a poor standard.
Mm.
And most of our TT Premier League sides haven't got the setup in depth where they've got under 17, under 15, under 13 teams below.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them haven't got that.
Yeah.
So it's a real difficult situation for the youngsters that are below, looking for development, trying to manage themselves to get better, to be in a position where they might be thinking about a career in football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know we have Adrian on the line. Adrian, are you hearing us?
Yes, I'm hearing you all. Good afternoon.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good,
I just want to touch quick on the point with the caller. He brought up great points, but I don't know if Terry will remember, but during our time at the national team, we actually recreated the zonal games.
Yes.
Where there weren't much happening in Trinidad and Tobago at all regarding football, and we actually created our own interzone where we played teams from east, we played teams from north, central, south,
Tobago.
And yeah, that brought the national team pool of players to over 400. We got the opportunity where we brought in teams. I can remember a Tobagonian team was actually sponsored by a company in Tobago.
Yeah.
So the reality is that there is people that actually willing to do these things, but again, there's always a start and stop. Yeah. When Angasif came in, he basically was criticizing our tactics of playing teams. And and one of the teams we played, and he said, when we boast about beating the team, he actually said, he said that we were out of place, but it was actually Club Sando. We defeated a Saturday 6-1.
Yeah.
So the reality is that there's not much unity in terms of decision makings in Trinidad and Tobago.
Yeah.
And in terms of where we at as a nation to develop football, and everyone tries to bring a new method, which is always they are always quick to touch the reset button.
Yes.
And that is exactly what has happened. Looking at Coach Angasif's team, we see that Michel Poon Angaron was actually, he made his debut on under the Terry Fenwick administration at age 18.
Yeah.
2 years later he was called back in, and now he's a starter. So he's actually older now. So it shows that there was nothing wrong with Michel Poon Angaron. It was just the mentality of the head coach, and he think that once you are a Fenwick boy, in his mind, what he has done with Robert Primus and others, that they do not deserve a chance. And I'm sorry to enter the room like this on a heat, but I've been waiting very long to say my points.
Yep.
Good afternoon, guys.
So, I mean, on the back of that, Adrian, what I think is very important here, that they're actually now copying, after criticising us for so long when we were in that position, they're now copying all the things that we did. Mm. They're going into regional games. But let me finish, mate.
And I must say it, that Coach Angasif, I don't know if, I know his contract has ended. We are in April the 3rd.
Yep.
No media houses is writing about it.
Correct.
He's still employed. Nothing is happening. He came out and criticised the 2,800 persons that were actually at the Dwight York Stadium.
Yes.
And for me, he sat on a table on a television station and he criticized our tactics. And he knew that we did not even see the opportunity of playing in front of a home game.
Every game away from home. Yep.
So the reality is that it's strange to me watching at his last squad that at least 9 starters were part of the starting team that were in our program.
Yes.
And it shows that if we were doing so badly and the personnel was doing so badly, why will you turn to them? He acted like he came out and speak at times like if he's not a Trinidadian number one and he's not a coach that could have held the job one day. And to me, I think karma came to hurt him last week against Nicaragua, Terry.
Yeah, well, Adrian, I agree with everything you've said there, and I think you need to sort of drag it back a bit. When we look at his background, live sport, terrible. Everybody's running a mile from it. And he was very much a part of that. College League, which is where he got all of his success. He's not really had any success at all in the Trinidad and Tobago Pro League. And now we're all finding out that he's not qualified enough to be the national team coach with only a B license that he's got. Now, I wonder where Richard Piper, Dion Lafficard, Anton Corneille, that are at the top of the TTFL, where are they advising the management structure that he's got to be an A license or a pro license coach.
Yeah.
He's not done that much. And
but the question lies, Terry, is if he's allowed to do it, because at the end of the day, it had a license course that recently ended, where Anguilla FA sent their coaches, St. Vincent FA sent their coaches last December. And I'm asking my friends if Angus was there, he was a no-show.
Yeah.
So it's the national team wasn't busy at that stage.
Correct.
They had no upcoming friendlies in December, and he was a no-show. So it shows that someone is hiding at this moment regarding his renewal contract. I know CONCACAF sent out a release last few weeks stating that a head coach must have an A-grade license.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we are celebrating
FIFA standards.
Yeah, correct. We are celebrating on the TTFA Instagram page, where we have qualified for a prelim. This is the second time we have qualified for a prelim of Gold Cup. I think that is horrific for us. And Nicola is right. Our development programs, the things that we actually accept in this country as a footballing people, mm-hmm. is really and truly sad. And to hear the head coach, who is the head of our national men's program, basically rants and rave against the crowd that came out in their numbers to support the national team, it shows that he has run out of excuses, Terry.
Yeah, I think so too. There's no standards there, and they need to get a grip. And I think that is the politics behind the scenes, mm-hmm. Andrea, is what's bringing down football in Trinidad and Tobago. And again, I keep on repeating this, we're ignoring the kids on the street, the kids that want to play football, that love the game. And there are some wonderful people that have got their own community academies that do their work for free. And we've still, you know, held at ransom, really, mm-hmm. with people at the top that know very little about the game, have got no experience in the game, mm-hmm. running it. That's killing us.
Yeah, just to build on something you touched on, and even Adrian as well, Terry, what you mentioned, you know, the Argentine influence on the neighbouring countries.
Yep.
I did a thesis in my final year in university on Germany was going through a very bad slump around the year 2000.
Yep.
And they did horribly in the Euros. I think they got knocked out in the group stage. Guys like Lothar Matthäus, those of you who know who that is,
yes.
You know, he was still on the team, and Germany had to take a hard look at themselves. And a lot of people don't know this, but Bierhoff, who was also a former German guy, went down because Argentina's youth system was so good.
Yeah.
They were trying to figure out what these guys were doing, because they won. At the time, it was 5, but now I think they have.
Yep.
And he went down there, and you know, Germany, a big nation like Germany, was, you know, humble enough to go down there and say, listen, let's see what these guys are doing.
Brilliant.
And they set a program. And Adrian made a very valuable point about we like to reset, which is true. We've heard this before, you know, and the caller is right. We've heard many people say we need to have these programs spread throughout the country, which is correct. But then every time somebody new comes in, they reset. And what Oliver Bierhoff and then eventually Klinsmann did, they had like a 15-year thing. This is Germany, by the way, not some small team.
Yeah.
And they said, listen, by the year 2010, this would have been the year 2000, we're going to have a national team.
Yep.
That is streamlined from youth levels all the way up to the senior team, working with universities in Germany to up their analytics. So by the time they get to 2010, they will be competitive at finals. And they got to a couple of finals, and eventually they won in 2014.
Yes.
And now they're once again rebuilding. But the thing is, they understood that you have to commit to these things. You have to get the right people.
Yep.
They were not afraid to make changes and get rid of some people. And that's where I think we keep, you know, dropping the ball.
I couldn't agree with you more. Adrian, what do you think?
Well said, Andre, and I must say, though, is that we watch at Germany. That's very far away from us. If we mm-hmm. look at our neighbors, Canada,
mm-hmm.
they scrapped their program. They scrapped their program and recreated.
Went again, yeah.
Got a proper coach who could have done exactly what they wanted to do, a younger coach, a vibrant coach. They found some players that hold dual citizenship, yeah. and now, after that sacrifice they made, they basically went to the World Cup, and now they are powerhouse in CONCACAF, and they have been before, but they went into a slump. But now watching at Canada, and I'm excited to see them in the Nations League semi-final matchups.
Yeah.
They are a team to beat.
And Adrian, we can't ignore the USA. They brought in Klinsmann.
Yeah.
So on the back of what you've just said about the development process in Germany, Andrea, that's exactly what he did. Yes, he concentrated on the national team, but he went down as far as under 15, under 17, into them levels where a development programme was put in place, where he was overseeing all these kids. And they've now had a seven-year development programme. World Cup 2026 is going to the USA, Canada, Mexico. You watch USA go. They're going to be fantastic.
Yeah. And the results have been consistent. You know, once again, I go back to the point, and it will sound like I'm repeating myself, but it's important that they stuck with their program.
Yes.
Even though the US gave Klinsmann a hard time, there was a very clear goal, and they gave him a decent amount of time, but you're seeing the rewards of what he did. And as Adrian said, you know, like we compared countries like Germany, which seems, which they are a superpower, no matter what, but the fundamental concept is the same.
So what we're saying here is the management, the top people in the TTF here, they're not seeing this. We've got no development program. There's not any development out there. We haven't got anything for 13, 15, 17 year olds. We're not seeing anything on the ground. So they're being overseen. So it's one thing connecting with the national teams, whether it be men or women, because that's what's in the public eye the most. That's what will get your TV and your newspapers and all that. But we're just ignoring development programs at all levels.
But now that we know, now that we know what the issue is, how can we fix it? Because yes, we can look at all different issues that, and challenges that we face, and but what can we do to fix that? Because as I said earlier, we have a lot of talent here in Trinidad and Tobago.
Kerry, it comes back down to the same people that are behind the scenes running TTF here. We've had COVID where everything was shut down, and Adrian will actually tell you, we trained 3 days a week. We had games every other weekend. We done our best. We done this for 1 year without any pay. That was all of my staff. Mr. Haddad promised to give the players some stipend, which never materialised, but we still made it happen. How did we make it happen? We got some sponsors that came on board with us that were proud to represent the national team and the young footballers that we had to help us continue 3 days a week through COVID with a team. And as just mentioned, Adrian, we had some stunning young players that are now starting to come through because they were with that national setup at that time. We've got to be serious about football. We've got to take it serious. It's the biggest sport on the planet. Monies are huge. The TTF here get $500,000 every 6 months. From FIFA to make sure the game progresses and operates, and it's just not doing so. Adrian, what do you think?
Terry, I totally agree with what you are saying, because the reality is we were there. So I will keep saying week in, week out. It's not that we are bashing the philosophy of the coach or the philosophy of the TTFA. But the reality is that we have seen Cornel. He has been recycled many times. That's the first TD in the Caribbean that has returned to a national program for over five times. It's the same thing with Sean Cooper. Sean Cooper have failed miserably in all divisions of Trinidad and Tobago football.
And he's a manager of the national team. Where does that make sense? You know, life sports, Angus Eve, where does that make sense? But you see, in behind the scenes, you know, we go back to people like Keith Lucloy and his partner, Liebird. Brent Sancho, who owes everybody money, nothing's been said, but he still wants to be a part of the game here. Laforia. These guys come out and they want to be critical about what's going on, but actually add no value at all because they don't do anything themselves. And, you know, I'm a Brit and I will not behind closed doors. I'll give it you in the face. So this is where I come from. It's not confrontational. It's just how people are, different cultures. But you've got so many in the background that are all about themselves. And when you look at the TT Premier League as we speak, you've got, is it Sir Alex Ferguson? No, sorry, Mr. Ferguson at Lochocka Rangers trying to take over football.
Yeah.
And of course, it's just generating all this bad feeling and hate because nobody wants him there, but they can't ignore the dollars that he provides for the leagues. So that's the politics that's going on. These people have got to stand aside. There are good people in Trinidad and Tobago in football. We've got to give other people a chance.
Yeah, Terry, and that's something that we in this real world is aware of. But the reality is who will really and truly give the right people a chance? There's people who criticizes these same people, but nevertheless is basically sharing champion with them.
Yeah.
And for me, I am a strong believer, and if you are destroying the product, which is our football, I don't want to have any part to deal with you.
Yeah.
And it has happened. We are not getting enough opportunities leaving Trinidad and Tobago. Our players, no disrespect to them, but we do not have much players that is in notable leagues again around the world.
Correct.
So the reality is that there is nothing really and truly prosperous with our football. A lot of our players is running to the USL League One and League Twos.
Yeah.
And to be honest, our football will reach like some countries in the Caribbean where it will just be, we will just be given, we will just collect subvention from FIFA. But the reality is that we are not doing anything to develop.
No.
We have players, we are down to at least one player that is active in the MLS now. We have five players that is playing in the USL. And the rest of players is playing in leagues that is not noticeable. When you look at Jamaica, for example, playing, and they pick a squad, you're seeing at least 10 premiership players.
Yes.
This was a time where Trinidad and Tobago was actually having that. Mm-hmm. We are going into a game against Nicaragua, and we are still seeing players that is unattached. Okay, and it shows that our development scheme is really and truly out of sort.
But Adrian,
it also shows that
Adrian, let me just cut you there for a second now. And this is me going back years here in Trinidad and Tobago. And for all that would knock him, Jack Warner done some great things with football here because he was prepared to go that extra yard. And the people, and they were out there, the Alvin Cornels and the Keith Lucklois were knocking him.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did was he gave them jobs. He shut them up.
Yeah.
And then he brought football together, not just in Trinidad and Tobago, because we had great crowds turning out, mm-hmm. good sponsors, we had good cup competitions, a great league, the Pro League was fantastic. And up and down the islands, he brought everybody together because he made it fruitful for everyone.
Yeah.
The people that are at the top at the moment are all in it for themselves. That's why it's not moving anywhere.
Mm.
Leave it alone, step aside, mm-hmm. let good people step in. Because there are out there and move the game on.
Yes.
Listen, at the moment, success in Trinidad and Tobago for a coach is getting a player outside of Trinidad and Tobago.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's a success. Not winning anything, not winning a league, a cup, a competition, getting a player out of here to something better.
Yes. Yeah, and you're correct. And guys, don't forget you can call us and let us know. Give us your thoughts, give us your opinions on... I call it local football, right? Because, I mean, where we see it as, you know, we don't have any upward, we don't have any growth, mm-hmm. I would say.
Yeah.
So call me and let me know what's your thoughts, what's your opinions, what do you think we can do? Let us see if we can fix the problem, mm-hmm. right? So 627-3223, 625-2257. You can even send me a WhatsApp message on 306-1061. Someone says, too much yes men. Too much yes
men. Too much yes men.
Someone says too much politics in football. They should stay out of it. And you're correct.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we, as I said, and I will keep saying it, we have the talent, but we're not getting to nurture it as we should.
Correct. Yep. That's spot on.
Remember we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago when I was here. Yeah. You asked me, you know, how we can fix this.
Mm.
And I said one of the most simple answers, in addition to all the things Terry and Adrian mentioned, is having people with integrity.
Yeah.
Yes.
It seems like a very strange and simple thing, but, you know, just have people who actually care about their job and the players. It's a very shocking thing and disturbing thing that's something you have to highlight.
Yeah.
That should be mandatory in a job. You know, anybody who's doing this job, should be coming in and saying, okay, I want to, what's best for the organization I'm working for and not what can I get for myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, that just continues to be the theme that Adrian and Terry and myself I've been mentioning, because even you know, at the UTT, there's a lovely sport program they have.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When I was there, and this is a problem we need to sort out in Trinidad. There were lots of qualified kids in especially in the footballing area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And at one point in time, when I was there, they put a guy. So you have a whole school of students who are trained in this particular area.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, Anthony Roger was there as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Former player, great guy.
Yeah.
And they put a guy who was not in the program. He was outside the program.
Yeah.
He was doing engineering. And he was like, listen, we're just going to put this guy as a coach. And it was
just
a big,
like that?
It was a big slap in the face to all the kids who were there. So it sends a bad message to the up-and-coming kids.
I know no one would want to get into that, because if they're seeing what's happening.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we have to lead by. We have to find people who lead by example.
You know, there's another thing, and this is something I've had to put up for years. Queen's Park Cricket Club, their football teams, they've been nicking, cherry-picking all the best players from the Port of Spain North area, from other clubs, but they've not got anyone out on a scholarship yet. They've not got any successes on that side of it. It's all about them and their name. And that's disappointing for me. Such a big organisation like Queen's Park Cricket Club should be doing much more than they are, instead of poaching kids from other academies to come in and make them look good, and then not get them out of the country on scholarships, or better than that. But that's where we are.
Yeah,
that's the management.
Terry,
yeah.
But Terry, I understand what you're saying, and it's not Queen's Park alone.
No.
We have a lot of people that come and sit with these kids and sell them dreams about scholarships.
Yeah.
And that's the reality. There is no dream with a scholarship, and I would like the parents to be educated about this. If a kid is good enough, he is academically inclined, he deserves to get a scholarship. Yeah. He can stay at Football Factory and get that same scholarship. He's going to Queen's Park to pay thousands of dollars to obtain a scholarship. And I want you all to understand that. So the problem we are having here, Terry, is plenty of these people are creating companies. We have the Gateway Athletics. We have this one. We have that one. Who's creating these companies? They are making big money on these kids, but they are not looking after the kids.
Yeah.
And that's the reality. We do not need to go into so in depth into leaving your club kids, your academy that is assisting your development, to get a scholarship. If you're good enough, coaches will see your videos and you will get a scholarship. And Terry, tell me if I'm wrong. It have Andre there that does great editing. There's people that is available, make it happen for you. I don't know why these kids is just moving all over. And I'm sorry to say, but at times it looks very bad.
Yes.
You see a kid played for Football Factory last week, and next week you are seeing him playing for San Juan Jablote. Yeah. And then the following week he plays for Central SC. That's not commitment. And we spoke about that with Sean Aberdeen last week.
Correct. Yeah.
All right, guys, it's just about 7 o'clock. We got to take a break. When we come back, it's much more. This is Offside, which we do every Monday with Kari V, Adrian Romaine, Terry Fennick, and we have Andre Suklal in the house. So we are going to be right back. Keep it locked.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
Welcome back. It's Freedom 106.5 FM, where you speak your mind. You are now in Offside with Kari V, Terry Fennick, Andre Suklal, and we have Adrian on the line. Welcome back. So we have a message here. We have a message here from someone. They said, we keep recycling errors and selling it as a viable product. Football, like many other sports here in Trinidad and Tobago, have become scientific and we are still into analog. At this stage of the game, we are still experimenting with coaches like it's an eater food kind of thing.
Excellent. What a great comment that is. Somebody that's paying attention out there.
Correct.
No, but is it true to know?
Yeah,
thinking about like really sitting down and dissecting it and nitpicking.
Yeah.
Why are we still experimenting with coaches now? Why?
Yep.
In this day and age, why are we still doing that?
Yep. And we touched on that a couple of weeks ago. You know, what we need to do. He used, you know, the analog reference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we live in an era of information and statistics and data and, you know, decision making needs to be more refined than how it is now.
You know, we national team haven't got through, again, I'm bringing it up, live sport, college league football, no qualifications. That couldn't happen anywhere else in the world. because you're held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
That's why people like Conte, that's just left Tottenham, he's called everybody out.
Yep.
He's confronted the situation. He's lost his job and he's going to get a big payout.
Mm-hmm.
But he's confronted people for, you know, you've got to be accountable for X, Y, and Z.
Correct.
We're not doing that in Trinidad and Tobago. People are getting away with things.
Yes. And that's what I like about Conte. You know, that's what he does.
Yep.
And I know we're jumping off to Conte, but it's the same concept.
Yep.
You know, your job is defined by, you know, your results.
Yes.
And if there are factors that you are seeing that the organization that you're working for is not helping you attain that goal.
Correct.
It is your duty to yourself and the team that you're working for.
Yep.
To demand certain things, and if the organization doesn't like that, well, you know, it's their loss.
Yeah, but guys, I think that's it's important that we really and truly move away from the 8-to-4 thinkers.
Yes.
Because football worldwide is a 24-hour office time.
Mm-hmm.
And in Trinidad and Tobago, we have a lot of persons that head organizations that has no experience at all
in football,
in terms of administration, in terms of management, in terms of even playing the game. Yeah. And you said it earlier, Andre, before we went on a break, you spoke about the UTT program.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so sad that a government institute with so much money that is being pumped into a sports program, they saw someone that was just a random, and we didn't see someone that is actually fit for the job. And yeah, today, if you ask me if UTT has achieved the steps that they have placed to achieve, I will say they have underachieved, because UTT should have been further from where they're at now. And you will know that too. UTT is a development program where you saw Imran Jan came out of, mm-hmm. you saw Shamar Brooks, a West Indies player, and lots others. Yeah. Even in football, Isaiah Meha, Stephon Pear, Tion James.
Yeah, great
so
guys.
It was a program where assisted a lot of young people to educate themselves off the field and also on the field. But it was important that they get the right tools to carry on the UTT brand and what was asked by May Soul rest in peace, Mr. Patrick Manning. Mm. Nevertheless, you have not seen it continue. And it's the same thing that is happening even in another institution that is partnered with UTT, MIC. MIC is a trade school, and the people that is in charge of the sports program and the sports and mentorship program, they are clueless about what is really needed for the trainees. So no one really and truly puts the kids first. They do not put the kids or the institution first. They normally put themselves first. And that's where wrongdoing is happening around these institutions. And it becomes a political game.
Yeah.
So it's happening all over our sport. And yes, we have seen it destroyed UTT. So now they even lost their campus in Arima.
Yep.
And who don't know, they only have access to the field.
Is that right?
Right. So, yes, correct. So they only have access to the field playing area. UTT in Omera is closed down, is no more.
Wow.
So we have seen it happen, and people don't see the importance of sport and tourism as well. Because UTT might be as in a much more suitable position where they had so many young men that came from different parts of the Caribbean, and they would have been like a CCC, Andre,
mm-hmm.
How CCC partakes in the cricket regional 4-day. CCC is part of a lot of different things. So we need to be really and truly strict on the people that is being given these jobs, because the reality is the kids that is suffering, and then we expect miracles to happen at the national level, but it's not going to happen if we have OJTs, on the job training persons, that is taking up these helms and trying to do jobs that they are not fit for. That's the reality, guys.
So nobody's being held accountable for this then, Adrian? No.
No, nobody's being held accountable. And it's all about it's a give.
Yeah.
And a lot of people isn't realizing that it's hurting the children.
Yes.
There is a lot of movements that is happening within our football fraternity.
Yeah.
And we must know that it's election around the corner when it comes to
correct
football with the TTFA. So there's a lot of persons that will be siding with different people and being their friend because they won that vote. But the reality is on the field we are in a mess.
So let me quickly run through the TT Premier League, Adrian. So if I can run through the teams, the positions. Top of the league at the moment is Central FC on 13 points. North East Stars, 12 points. Second place, Defence Force. Third place with 9 points. Morbid Caledonia, 8 points in fourth position. Club Sando in fifth position on 8 points. Also St Anne's Rangers, 7 points. Canopia, 6 points. Point Fortin, 4 points in 8th. W Connection in 9th position on 4 points. Prison Services on 4 points. Police on 3 points in 11th position. And I can't believe my old team, Samwon Jablati, my God, bottom of the league, 12th position with only 1 point. Mm. So within that 12, you've got Prison Services, Police and Defence Force making up some of the numbers there. And I've quite enjoyed, Adrian, some of the games that I've watched on TV so far. But again, standards are not reaching very far.
Yeah, Terry, you are correct. Watching at San Juan Jablati at the bottom of the table, it's a sad day in San Juan.
Wow.
Honestly. Because I think they have so much talent. What has caught my eyes, though, is that W Connection is also struggling.
Yes.
And with the investment that David John Williams made in a few players like Nathaniel James, who's actually playing for Club Sando, and Dante Gilbert, he made a lot of investment in these two kids, and seeing them leaving W Connection to ply their trade elsewhere, I think that is not one that he ever envisioned. And it shows that a lot of people is basically moving away from the old guards and trying to enter the new territories. But my question lies, what's the deal there, and what are they being promised? Are they being promised national cups? That's a big question that mark for me.
Yeah.
Because you have seen a lot of movement in terms of the team from down south, Club Sando, but you are wondering with the budget that they have, what are these kids being offered? Nevertheless, which was expected, you saw Nathaniel James was on the last national men's senior team roster, and he came on after returning from Jamaica. He came off the bench and scored for Club Sando. Kudos to them. But the league thus far has really and truly showed less quality. It is not the league of the 2000 era.
Yeah.
We haven't seen the top players where you had a Marvin Oliver, you had players like Kerry Batiste and the clinical finishers of Peter Byers and they.
Yeah.
You are still seeing kids that is developing, and it shows that our national setup at the moment really and truly needs to depend on a under 23 development league. Because if you watch at the average age of the league at the moment, you will see majority of persons is actually under 23 because it's cheaper. It's cheaper for a lot of clubs.
Correct.
Clubs is basically given a smaller budget. And that's what made available to them. So the reality is that they have to go cheaper, and with cheapness is youngsters.
But Adrian, we've already said as well, Lob, underneath these top teams that are in the TT Premier League, not many of them, if any at all, have got development programs at different age groups underneath that first team. They can't afford it. And government and corporate Trinidad have got no confidence, clearly, in football because they're not putting money out to support this. So I'm just looking at the top of the table there. Central FC. Who's behind Central FC today, then?
Well, a buddy told me it's Double Fergie. So Double Fergie has double teams. So
wow.
I know that
that's against the rules and regulations of football across the globe in FIFA, wherever else. I'm seeing a St Anne's Rangers in here, but nothing to do with La Hockett Rangers. So there's been a change up there, has there, or not?
Interesting.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
St. Anne's Rangers, yeah, is in the 12-team programme. And Central at the top. But I'm not sure who the people are behind them clubs.
Yeah,
I'm curious as well. And you realise that it is illegal to own two clubs in the same league.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm, interesting. So,
well, that's something we need to get in depth with next week, Terry, because I think that if people is tuning into us, they need to, we need to be straightforward, and
absolutely,
and give them the right information.
Yeah.
And let's get on top of that, because I know that Central FC trains in La Hoqueta Recreation Ground. That's the same home ground of La Hoqueta Rangers.
Yes.
So it will be strange for me to know that Sir Fergie actually owns two teams.
Sir Fergie.
But nevertheless, there's...
Are you talking about Sir Alex Ferguson or...?
No. Trini Fergie.
Oh, Trini Fergie.
Trini Fergie. So it's very interesting for us, because we would like to know, and we need to get in depth with that, because...
Well, I mean, this is not the same guy that doesn't allow his players to participate in training with the national side, is it? Yeah.
Possibly.
I mean, that's where we are, Adrian. I mean, isn't it disappointing, not for any of us guys, but for the youngsters that are out there that have got qualities, that want to do well for themselves and their families and get contracts overseas? Isn't it disappointing that you've got same sort of management and individuals at the top that are hindering the sport?
Terry, honestly, it's a depressing stage as a young football administrator, and it's sometimes you feel stifled, and I speak as with my experience thus far, but the reality is that I know a lot of persons who's qualified to do better jobs than the ones that is holding posts in even the TTFA.
Yes.
They haven't been given a chance. So it's all about who knows you now.
Yes.
And I'm realizing it daily. And our football is really and truly dying. And it needs someone that is willing to come and pick it up and care for our players, where our players will be traveling in first class and not economy. 15 hours
not having, with transit. Not having 50% going a different route, mm-hmm, to the same, okay, place.
Yep.
Right.
Two different not aircraft, having, different...
So multiple 60, flights.
63 wow. days for a stipend. Not having to wait to enter the hotel to collect a uniform or a kit.
Correct.
I saw something recently. A kid has on, Andre Rampersad had on a number 6 jersey, and his pants was number 3. That happens nowhere in the world.
Nowhere else.
So we need a holistic change.
So Adrian, Adrian, at what age were you when I give you the manager's job at Jablata? How old were you?
I was 21 years old. 21.
21, eh?
21 years old.
So I sidestepped all of them old boys that wanted that job to bring a young kid into the frame, eh?
Progressive. That's progressive.
Yeah. How many titles did we win?
We won, together we have won 7 titles.
Is that all?
7 local titles. We won the CFU. And we have won a lot. We have sent out a lot of players as well in notable leagues.
Very good. Well done. So, Andre, what do you think?
Listen, you know, I always joke and I always say this. There's so much to talk about, but, you know, I'll try to keep it to the TT Premier League.
Yeah.
While there are, I'm trying to be as diplomatic as possible, there are positives, like, you know, the FIFA Plus thing.
Yes.
You know, you could see the games now.
Yep.
You know, the Sportsmax as well.
Yep.
It's, you know, that's a move in the right direction. I always, you know, from the social media side of things.
Yep.
But, you know, that is kind of like a bandage over the problems that were always there.
Yes.
And, you know, the fact that, you know, that thing you mentioned with Central FC and, you know, Rangers.
Yeah.
You know, that's very disturbing.
Yeah.
And the fact is, the players, the younger players, I speak to a lot of them. You know, they message me.
Yeah.
You know, even
me
back
too. Lots of the players, even the older boys that have got kids coming through.
Yeah.
A lot of them come to me first.
Yeah, and they sound. You hear the frustration in their voice.
Yes.
They feel as if there is no pathway. It's very ad hoc. You know, Adrian mentioned multiple times how the contracts are structured.
Yes.
You know, if you're a player who wants to play for the national team, and it's all connected. You know, it's all connected. Why? When they get to the national team, you know, we often get accused of lack of passion. But these players are highly deflated, a lot of them. They don't know when their next paycheck is going to come, if they're going to get any.
Yeah.
And it's
very disappointing for them, you know. And,
yeah,
and these young kids deserve better.
Yeah, they do deserve better.
Yeah. So, guys, let's leave the local football and national football alone. Let's give it a little breather for a minute and return to Premier League, Champions League. I think what we need to look at is, my God, Arsenal, what a fantastic season they're having. Sitting at the top of the league there.
Yes, yes.
Manchester City in second place. Newcastle in third place. Have pulled a couple of great results out over the last couple of weeks. Spurs lost their manager, but sitting in fourth position. Got a draw today, 1-1 at Everton.
Yep.
Manchester United, since the 7-0 defeat against Liverpool, have stuttered a little bit, but still sitting in fifth position. Brighton in sixth, which I think is fantastic for Brighton. Brentford in seventh, two good managers running them teams. Liverpool have dropped to eighth position.
Mm-hmm.
There's some corners asking for Klopp to leave the club, even after the great job that he's done for them over so many years.
Scary.
Yes, but I think he does need to look at that squad of players again.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to rethink some of his midfield. I mean, as much as Jordan Henderson comes from the same part of the world as I do,
yeah,
and he's been a great player for Liverpool, but a club with this magnitude need to have world-class players.
Correct.
All of the time. Aston Villa sitting in ninth, Fulham 10th, Chelsea have just lost their manager, Graham Potter, sitting in 11th position, which will be very disappointing for them. 12th position, Crystal Palace, who've appointed the all-boy manager all over again and got a good result.
Yep.
2-1 at the weekend. Wolves in 13th position. West Ham are starting to creep out of the bottom of the league, sitting in 14th. Everton, 15th. Nottingham Forest, 16th. Bournemouth, 17th. Leeds United, big disappointment for them, in 18th. 19th, Leicester City, after having two or three great seasons in the Premier League and propping up the whole division on 20th position, is Southampton. So we've seen the teams panicking. There will be other managers, I'm sure, will go over the next week or 10 days,
yep,
depending on the next results coming this next weekend. But it's such a competitive league.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't write anybody off. We've watched Southampton get a point at Old Trafford.
Mm-hmm.
13 wins, consecutive wins at Old Trafford under Ten Hag, and then they get beat at Liverpool and draw at home to Southampton. That just shows you how finicky the football can be, particularly in the Premier League, where if you're not a top side,
mm-hmm,
the bottom teams have got a tactic, a formation, a game plan to nick something off of you, yes.
Yeah. You know, Manchester United are a perfect example. I like what Ten Hag has done.
Yeah.
I think he is a good coach. I think Manchester United are making signings in the right direction.
Yes.
I think Casemiro was
agreed,
a brilliant signing.
Agreed.
I don't know why anybody was shocked. He was good. He has been world-class at Real Madrid for years.
Yeah.
And Brazil. You know, even the signing of Martinez, you know, the centre-back, the butcher, they call him.
Yes.
and the thing is, that's how quickly you could get. They were super confident after they won the, I know a lot of people poke fun at them, but you know, when they won the Carabao Cup.
Yeah.
And then Liverpool just, and that just shows you how football is. Liverpool have been struggling.
Yeah.
And then they come and just wipe the floor at Manchester United. It's one of those things.
Correct.
That's just hard to explain, you know.
And I think, as well as that, and this is another good point, Adrian, along the same lines as you,
mm,
Newcastle United were going very well to, mm-hmm, the Carabao Cup. And when they got beat 2-0 in that cup final against Manchester United, they then stuttered themselves.
Yeah.
But over the last couple of weeks, they've picked good results up. And again, that was a great result this weekend for them, beating Manchester United 2-0 at St James's Park up there in Newcastle. And I think they're doing a good job behind the scenes. They're sitting in third position, for God's sake. Yeah,
quietly.
Can't ignore that, yeah.
Quietly doing a good job. Their coach is doing a good job. Yep. You know, he doesn't get as much press as the other coaches.
Yeah.
You know, everybody talks about the money. But, you know, Newcastle has done a good job.
They've done an excellent job. And they're right in the frame there for a Champions League spot. Tottenham, was it a good result at Everton 1-1 today? A good point on the road? I don't know. Mm. Most of the top four clubs would expect to win there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried that it is the management structure that they put in is temporary basis.
Yeah,
I would have hoped and wanted them to bring in a top manager straight away.
Yeah,
there are managers out there, are available, and Tottenham certainly need that. They need a kick up the pants. Mm-hmm. Players need to be shook, and my God, we've looked at Harry Kane, top goal scorer in English history for the national team, does a brilliant job generally for Tottenham, but with them stand with quality players like that,
mm-hmm.
Tottenham have got to be winning things. And then I've got to go back, and this is, I'm a big believer in this, Sandra. Manchester City, great coach in Pep Guardiola behind them. They've been knocked out of the Champions League the last twice.
Yep.
By Premier League teams.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to win the I think they're going to win the Champions League.
Yeah.
And I think they're still knocking on the door to maybe nick it away from Arsenal. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think Pep Guardiola is the type of coach that, you know, a lot of people, you know, poke fun at him because he has all this money and so on. But, you know, he knows how to rebuild teams, which is the problem Liverpool has, which we'll talk about that another time, I guess. But, you know, everybody's speaking about Haaland, rightfully so. He has been brilliant.
Didn't play at the weekend, but still scored 4 goals against Liverpool.
Yeah, and it shows how, you know, Alvarez, a young Argentine striker.
Brilliant.
He's brilliant. Then, you know, it shows that they have solutions.
Yes.
Because for a little while, I guess last year, you could see Pep realize, okay, we need to shake things up. He brought in these two young guys.
Yeah.
And they are, honestly, the kind of team, even though they drop a couple points to give Arsenal that breathing room, they could easily, with experience, just kind of get a nice run of form and
but
snatch it from
Arsenal. But isn't that typical Pep Guardiola? He, every 18 months, he gives it a little shake.
Yeah.
And people out there might not be recognising it, not being understanding it, that he's bringing in.
Mm-hmm.
People are not seeing, and Kerry, this is across the globe, Manchester City are looking at players in North America, Asia, all over the globe to bring into Manchester City. Chelsea have done this in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden this name appears out of the blue, nobody's seen or heard of him before, bang, and he turns into a superstar overnight because of the quality of these coaches.
Correct.
Pep Guardiola, love him to death, think he's brilliant. Sometimes they can be a little boring to watch.
Yeah.
Pass.
Mm-hmm.
Wear the game down. But they've done some brilliant things, Kerry.
Yeah, that was great. That was really great. Anyway, guys, it's just about 7:30. This is where we say, Ayo Pancho. See you guys next Monday, same time, same place, right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, where you speak your mind.
So, Kerry, what I'd like to say to you before we get away this evening is tomorrow night at 9 p.m.
Yeah.
We've got on CNC3, we've got Offside!
Yes.
Yeah.
live on television.
Yeah, you don't want to miss that one at all.
Don't miss that one. So we'll be speaking on a Monday night right here on the radio show. We'll be discussing with all of you guys out there. Please ring us up. And on a Tuesday night, we'll be live on television with our guests analysing the same games going forward. Tune in, have a look, and we can't wait.
Of course. Thank you so much. Guys, so don't forget you can continue sending us messages even during the course of the week. If you saw something football related and you want us to bring it up on Monday next time, you can send us a message on 306-1065. So, Terry, Andre, Adrian, thank you so much for joining us again.
Pleasure.
We'll see you guys on the flip side. Keep it locked.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.